she goes.
During the Cold War, submarine warfare became vitally important. Nuclear submarines had to be able to navigate the world's oceans safely, so submariners needed to be sure of the depth of the sea floor. Flush with Navy funding, scientists set out to map the ocean floor in unprecedented detail. Their tool was the Echo Sounder. Ships sent out pulses of sound which travelled to the seafloor and then bounced back up again. The time taken for each ping to make the journey gave the depth of the water at that point.
Well, there you go. Some sounds of the old way of mapping the ocean. And what's old is new again. Only this time it isn't warfare that got government eyes under the deep blue sea. This time, it's the oil and gas industry. And I've joined Daybreak's George Baker, somewhere under the ocean, this morning. How you doing, George?
I'm good, Russell. How are you?
Excellent. So tell me a little bit about the sound I've got here in the background.
Well, that's the sound of sonar pulses from submarines. I mean, it's a good way, or it used to be the good way, to measure the depth of the ocean in certain areas. As we heard off the top, it's how governments actually around the world used to map the ocean while they were going to war. What the federal government doesn't know these days is the little contours, ridges, and rocks that make up the BC coast. So back there going to the ocean to discover what it looks like at the bottom of the sea. The federal government does have some areas and some ideas that are very outdated.
All right, so how do they map the ocean floor these days then?
There are several different ways they can do this. One is to drag cameras on the ground, but that's very time-consuming. It can be used, however, but scientists still use sound, but this time more of it. Today, multi-beam eco-sounders are typically used, which use hundreds of very narrow adjacent beams arranged in a fan-like swath of typically 90 to 170 degrees across. And Russell, this allows a boat to map more seafloor in less time than having a submarine just ping a sound, as we're hearing, off the ground and back up.
All right, so why go through the, rigmarole of sound? I mean, can't satellites be used for this sort of stuff this day and age?
Well, sound waves use pressure to move through gases, liquids, and solids. And in an air, sound moves around 340 meters per second. But in seawater, it zooms along at around 1,500 meters, I should say, per second. That fact comes for us from the National Oceanography Center in the United Kingdom. So it goes a lot faster as it's passing through water than it would through air, and therefore it's faster than light.
All right, so why is the federal government looking at the ocean floor?
Well, it's about shipping oil. The federal government has approved Enbridge's Northern Gateway project. The Northern Gateway was approved after much controversy, and with 209 conditions attached to building the pipeline, among them identifying and prioritizing sensitive areas for oil spill response, the company also must file a marine effects monitoring program. So with all that, plus the fact that there are several LNG terminals proposed for the region, in order to dampen fears about accidents on the coast, the conservatives say they are committed to a world-class tanker safety system. And as part of that, they want to know what the ocean floor looks like along the coast should an accident actually happen.
And George, what do those who are in the know on the North Coast say about this?
Well, I spoke with one of the top experts here on the North Coast, Prince Rupert oceanographer Barb Vagater, about this. Here's what she has to say.
They are now contemplating this because for a long time, prior to Dilbit, diluted bitumen, there wasn't a real concern about, or not a terribly large concern about oil spills in the seafloor. I say there was a little bit of a concern, but not terribly, because oil in its normal form, crude oil and whatnot, tends to float until it reaches a certain point when it starts to form tar balls. And then finally, as it forms tar balls, it starts to settle down to the ocean floor.
And so to Fagater, the idea that they're looking at the ocean floor, mapping it now, is both good news and bad news.
I like the idea that they're mapping the seafloor simply because we know so little about it, and it will help a lot for a number of different types of things that we come across in the future, to know more about the seafloor, about what's going on down there, how deep it is, what's growing down there, what kind of surface it has. Those are all really useful things to know for any kind of project, industrial or otherwise, that goes out there. So I'm happy to see that a database like that's created. On the flip side, it indicates that they want to go ahead with this project. They obviously understand now that there are impacts to the seafloor from what's happened in the last few years and their studies on Dilbit. Clearly, they are potentially expecting impacts on the seafloor, and that doesn't make me very happy.
All right, that is Barb Fageter with the Prince Rupert Oceanographer, and I'm speaking with Daybreak's George Baker this morning about the federal government's plans to use the ocean floor or to map the ocean floor using sonar. And George, what does some of the ocean floor on the North Coast look like according to these sonar pulses?
Well, we don't know a lot, but what we do know about it is that it can be very deep.
And how deep?
Well, let Barb Fageter tell you.
Gosh, it goes down to, I think, about 2,000 to 4,000 feet in various places. Some of our fjords are quite deep.
So, you know, I think we heard some of that too when Queen of the North went down a few years ago and the quite deep water that it sunk in.
We were talking about the size of a mountain in some cases. It's quite big. And there would be a lot of work to understand how far down a glop of bitumen could sink. So, I mean, if you're recovering Dilbit, bitumen, oil, you are definitely looking very down deep in some sections of the coast.
So what's the federal government saying about this work?
Well, they're remaining tight-lipped.
Right now,
yeah. There is a request for proposals for a contract to do this work, but this is part of a federal government's enhancement of its world-class tanker safety system, says a DFO representative, one that provides maximum protection to the Canadian public and our environment. The representative goes on to say that the Government of Canada is continuing to engage local First Nation communities by incorporating their knowledge and skills into a plan to improve spill prevention, preparedness, and response. Lastly, the world-class tanker safety system demonstrates Canada's commitment to the environment and stewardship of our natural resources. You can make of that as you will.
All right. Daybreak's George Baker from the coast here on Daybreak on CBC Radio 1. Thanks so much, George.
You're welcome.
And so we want to hear what you think about this effort to map the ocean floor by the federal government. And you can, well, certainly sound off on our email address, and that's daybreaknorth@cbc.ca. That's daybreaknorth@cbc.ca. You can also call our listener line, 1-866-340-1932. That's 1-866-340-1932.